Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Alcohol continues to be the most widely abused substance among teens. Youth who drink alcohol are more likely to experience school problems, such as higher rates of absences or lower grades. Social problems, such as fighting or lack of participation in activities, even unwanted, unplanned, and unprotected sexual activity. On average, alcohol is a factor in the deaths of approximately 4,300 people under 21 in the United States per year. Learn how you can keep underage youth informed about the consequences of substance misuse at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drugs Coalition.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner on this bright, sunshiny morning here at the historic old Clay County Courthouse. We're here in the old clerk's office and looking forward to having another show. Great show. We've got just a little technical hang up here for just a few seconds. But first off, we of course like to thank everyone that makes this possible, our three-star committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and of course all the good folks that that help us do this by their sponsorship money. And we always want to remember them. I know there's quite a few of them, and we really appreciate all the help that they give us in making this show possible each week. And I'd like to thank Mr. Kevin Dawson for coming by last week and subbing for me while I went to a little family reunion out west, and I had a great time doing that. But we're back this morning, and hopefully we will get started with this morning's show here just in a few minutes. But right now we're going to run a few commercials, and I'll be right back with you in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug and opioid misuse often starts at home. On average, 4,400 people ages 12 and under misuse prescription medication for the first time every day. Sharing prescription medications with friends or family members is dangerous and against the law. The misuse of prescription medications can lead to severe health problems and even opioid use disorder. Start preventing prescription drug and opioid misuse at home. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
An alarming number of preteens are already drinking alcohol, which makes it urgent to find every opportunity to talk to your kids about the dangers of underage drinking. They really do hear you. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's www.underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk. They hear you. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
And welcome back to the Clay County Corner. I do apologize. We're having a little difficulties here. And I'll play a little music here and see if we can't get through the technical part of it, and we'll be right back with more Clay County Corner.
But once again, I can breathe real hard. I'm back. But my scheduled guest for this morning had some family problems during the night and had to rush over to East Tennessee. And I have hustled for a few minutes and got a standby guest coming in here in a few minutes. Mr. Kenzie Adams is going to come by here in a few minutes. We may talk about everything from marbles to ancestry, just a bunch of different things. But till he gets here, we might just do them. The old history teacher here might just do a little history lesson here, things that happened in America on this day. And some of these things, of course, are still kind of interesting. If you're a history student, you know who Samuel D. Champlain was, who helped settle and first explored the New World, the French explorer. And one of the first things he did when he got here was shot and killed two Iroquois chiefs at Ticonderoga, New York, and set off the beginning of the French-Iroquois conflicts, which lasted for the next 150 years here in the New World. So long battles aren't a new thing. And looking on down through here in this one, I know the treasure hunters have always been interested in this one, and that is in 1715, there were 10 Spanish treasure galleons sunk off the coast of Florida by a hurricane. And I know that there have been, some of them have been found, some of them haven't been found, and that's one of the things that's going on. You know, people are looking all over that area. People have made it their lifetime quest to try and find some of those, and we've had a few of them that did, but usually when they did, it's always wound up in a court somewhere or another to try to ascertain who those actually belong to. Where was the ship located? Was it in U.S. waters, international waters? You know, it wasn't just finding all those gold doubloons and going down and bringing them up and taking them and spending them. It was a big process in that, but I thought that was kind of interesting. 10 of them at one time loaded down with treasure from the New World headed back to France. And then in the education field, in 1773, the first schoolhouse west of the Allegheny Mountains was completed in Schönbrunn, Ohio. So that one of the first things, one of the major things we still have today is the education of our populace. 1835, the first sugar plantation opened in Hawaii. And, of course, they were raising sugar beets over there, and I think they still have a few farms over that raise sugar beets. And this one here is very, very interesting. In 1847, the Cumberland School of Law was founded in Lebanon, Tennessee. And at the end of 1847, there were only 15 law schools in the United States. And Cumberland University, the Cumberland School of Law, was one of those. And, of course, they're still in existence today and still turning out lawyers down there, one of which happened to be the father of the United Nations, who tried his first court cases and practiced law right here in this building where we're at. And, of course, he went on to serve in state government and then in the national government, and then also was Secretary of State. And, of course, as any of the Clay County history folks know, that he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and he was also a potential candidate for President of the United States, I believe in 1943-44, that era when President Roosevelt announced he was going to run for that unprecedented four term. So that's very, very interesting to know that this was one of the earliest law schools established in the United States. And also from this area, one of our Tennessee governors was educated there and also educated here in Salina at the Montville Academy. That was Benjamin McMillan, who actually was born up across the state line at a place just happened to be named McMillan's Landing up the river. So that's a couple of interesting things there. And let's see, looking on down, here is something now we can trace a little bit of history back, things still going on today. In 1905, the Secretary of War, William Howard Taft, who was, of course, also the 27th President of the United States, makes a secret agreement with Japanese Prime Minister Katsura, agreeing to Japanese free reign in Korea in return for non-interference with the U.S. in the Philippines. So of course, we still have, you know, the problem with the small nation of Korea going on today. So this is something that we trace back for many, many years. And let's see, in 1920, the first transcontinental airmail flight from New York to San Francisco, which now is something we think nothing at all of. And, of course, our mail now goes real quick from New York to San Francisco. When you send an email, the recipient gets it in just a few seconds. We don't have to wait to put it on a plane. And, of course, overnight mail service is the thing that's possible throughout the United States now. And with our hot temperatures here in the area right now, that, you know, we're looking maybe even today going into triple digits here in the United States and in Tennessee. But in 1930, a Mississippi state record was set at Holly Springs, Mississippi, with it reaching 115 degrees in 1930. So, and then looking on down, 1947, there was a gas leak in a beauty parlor in Harrisonburg, Virginia, that killed 10 women who were in there at the beauty shop. 1958, which is something we just we moved on to another step there with our two multi-billionaires sending themselves into space. But in 1958, the U.S. President Eisenhower signed into law the National Aeronautics and Space Act in 1958. So from 1958, when we first signed it up, and one of the goals, of course, then was, you know, we were going to reach the moon. We were going to put a man out in space, and we had to compete with the Russians because they got the first satellite up. And somebody sent a monkey up, and somebody sent a dog up to try them out before we sent folks up. But then we actually sent our astronauts up, had one to step foot on the moon. But things have advanced a little bit since then. And in 2016, on this day, Hillary Clinton accepted the Democratic nomination for U.S. president, and being the first woman by a major party to be nominated for president of the United States. And with that kind of concludes what little bit of today in history we have. And with that, I'm going to work in a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alcohol continues to be the most widely abused substance among teens. Youth who drink alcohol are more likely to experience school problems, such as higher rates of absences or lower grades, social problems, such as fighting or lack of participation in activities, even unwanted, unplanned, and unprotected sexual activity. On average, alcohol is a factor in the deaths of approximately 4,300 people under 21 in the United States per year. Learn how you can keep underage youth informed about the consequences of substance misuse at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from the Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Still waiting on my substitute guest to get here, but I've got a whole bunch of things here to go through and talk about. And beginning with, you know, some of the things that are going on here in and around the courthouse and here in Clay County. Of course, right now, coming up, school is in session right now, basically. I know our teachers are all in service this week, and we're getting ready to start a new year of school. And, of course, school is now getting ready to start right in the middle of a resurgence of our COVID problem. So, you know, once again, there's question marks about things, and I know most everyone is planning on school being back in session as close to normal as possible. But I know that's going on. So those big yellow buses will be out and running here, hopefully, I think, here in just a few days. So watch out for those things. And, of course, we'll be getting some information on about some of the school year happening, things that are going to be happening. And also, along with that, is that it's going to be time for high school football to begin here in August. So that's something just right around the corner for us there. And our football team, we'll have Coach Johnson on here in a week or so to kind of give us a little preseason look at what he feels like this year is going to be like. And hopefully, you know, if there's any changes in guidelines and things like that we'll have some news about that. So we're looking forward to that happening here in just a week or so. And I believe next Saturday, Ms. Murray Lloyd has her museum celebration, which is scheduled for a one-day event next Saturday, and that will include, you know, having the vendors and our cakewalk here at the courthouse. And I think also, of course, one of the things she really likes to talk about is her duck race. I think she's about got all the ducks in there and got them all trained and ready to turn them loose in the river and see which one can swim the fastest down the river and win someone about $1,000 for that. Pardon? I just had a voice that made everyone know she had their ducks all in a row. I think they'll all be in a row when they start. But after that, we're not sure about that. And we've had a numerous amount of fun and jokes about that, about getting the ducks down the river. And I know there's been a couple of times when the ducks were coming down the river that someone helped one of the ducks out and helped them out of the water, little things like that. But it's been a whole bunch of fun around that celebration. And then also Labor Day weekend, I think the Moonshine Day celebration will be going on, which I think they're going to do a car show here on the square. And then on the last Saturday in September, we'll be having a little bit of a change on our Cumberland Run car show. It has been moved down to the new Salina Donaldson Park, which we're going to try to have. That's one of our first major events down there. We'll still be giving away our 100 T-shirts. We'll still be doing a lot of things down there, but it's going to be an entry fee show with trophies and a lot of things to give away. I know a couple of door prizes we have. One is a two-night vacation at a Dale Hollow Getaway, and another one is a two-night vacation in a boat-tail up at Cedar Hill. So those are nice door prizes, and so we'd like to, you know, make sure everyone knows that's coming up. And of course, we got a little ad running on the on Facebook. And then I've got another program I'm just going to throw out real quickly, and that is Adopt a Window here at the courthouse. You know, we're in the process right now of getting 6 of our windows restored, and it's a very, very expensive process. But we have, our committee, we've come up with an idea to allow folks to help with that and to have a memorial window here in the Clay County Courthouse that hopefully will be here for another 150 years. So, but we'll have some more information on that a little bit later. And with that, I am going to read our four birthdays, take a short break, and then Kenzie and I are going to come back and we're going to finish up. We'll be back just after I read these. We're celebrating a birthday, Ms. Kelly Davis, from all of her friends, neighbors, cousins, grandma, grandpa, the whole family. We wish her happy birthday. And also Mr. Mitchell Smith. Same thing with him, his whole family, everybody. They're all just tickled to death to celebrate his birthday with him. And then also celebrating is Ms. Judy Burnett. I'd like to wish her a happy birthday. And then also Brindley Barlow celebrated a birthday this past week. And so we'll have a little selection system here in a little bit and give away one of those delicious ice cream cakes. And the number to call to get your name on this list is 931-243-5574. And with that, we're going to come right back, and there's no telling where these two minds will wander off to. We'll be right back.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug and opioid misuse often starts at home. On average, 4,400 people ages 12 and under misuse prescription medication for the first time every day. Sharing prescription medications with friends or family members is dangerous and against the law. The misuse of prescription medications can lead to severe health problems and even opioid use disorder. Start preventing prescription drug and opioid misuse at home. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Good morning, Kenzie.
Morning, Thomas. How are you?
I'm glad you made it by this morning. I said we had a special guest coming on, but we'll have to catch him later.
Gifted with gab.
How about we had professional fishing guide Gene Austin ready to come in, and it's hard to get much out of Gene.
Well, I can understand that.
But, Kenzie, I don't know. Coming up... right now, our pretty much set tentative date is something that's kind of interesting, I know, to you, and that is that the Tennessee Music Pathway signage will be unveiled here. Right now, the date is set up to be Wednesday, August the 18th at 2 o'clock. And Kentucky Headhunters have committed to be here that day.
Right,
they're not going to pick and grin, but they're going to be here. But the tourism folks, of course, this was completed, you know, back before COVID, and we've had the sign here. And the first thing, you know, they kind of thought about was try to put this sign over at Dumas's Beer Joint. Well, it doesn't exist anymore, and it's kind of out of the way. So we, I guess before me, the folks over at the chamber decided that the ideal spot would be here on the Courthouse Square.
Catch a lot more eyes.
Right, so folks can see it, and I know that... I know Dumas has a brother that is still alive, and James, and hopefully he'll be able to be here. And of course, his nephew, Mr. Allen West, and some of them will be here for that. So we're looking forward to that. And as of right now, I don't know where this is actually carved on the rock yet or not, but that's the day the headhunters are going to be here. So I think that'll probably be the day we do it.
What was that date again?
August the 18th, Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Because I think they're doing a show up in Burkeville that weekend, and they didn't have anything scheduled all through that week. But I've spoken to those folks a couple of times, and they've been pretty busy this summer. So.
I'd say so.
Okay. What marbles?
Well, really, most of our Clay County things are kind of slowing down, except for a few little odd and end night tournaments we have. We've done most of ours, and now we're taking turns taking care of our Monroe County brothers. They're having their fire tournament the first weekend in August, which I think is Saturday the 7th, if I'm not mistaken. And there's another tournament up there before we get ready for the big Stand and Stone.
Right, the national tournament, right, with Sean over there. And I know Sean and Kevin Dawson and I are we're in the talking process of, you know, with the signage coming up for Dumas Walker, that it becomes very imperative that we get our little exhibition room here in the courthouse for Rolly Hole Marbles up and going.
And I've got a few things to contribute to that, I do believe.
I think maybe Russell Collins may have some stuff to contribute to that.
And he's got pictures galore.
Right.
And videos, too. But.
Right. So that's something we're looking forward to. And the... this is kind of throwing something out, is the marble yard down at Donaldson Park. Have you guys did any discussing about that?
I played on it, and it is it's a landmark. There's lots of people that cut their teeth on that yard, so to speak.
Have you been down and looked at it and seen the amount of work? It looks like it's still in pretty good...
It could be easily the one good... stigma that's always been around that yard is it never has took much work to get it in ship ready.
Right. It's in ship shape.
That's right.
I got to watch that one.
And
that would be for outdoor things. And then, of course, we've got the over that's enclosed that you can play the year round in. But it's not real inducive to folk coming and watching, is it?
It's not real handy on that capacity. No, we have a capacity that we have to keep. And we only have so many in there so many times.
And best I remember, there is an electrical connection down there, so that place could be even lit up
there.
For
one time, from what I understand, before me, there was lights,
right,
bleachers, or so it's a stadium, so to speak.
That may be, the Marble Club might want to take that little shore on with the help of some other folks.
I think we might try it. We'll have to get some big old fly swatters.
Yeah, well, you know, there sometimes there are some skeeters
big enough to carry off a child.
But you know, they're pretty good about not carrying you off.
That's right.
They're scared to death the big ones will take you away from them when they get them home. Well, Kenzie, we've talked about marbles just a second. Are you making any marbles yet much?
Well, I've got to relocate my apparatus. I had it in the basement a little bit, and my dusting chores have not doubled, they've tripled anyway. So I've got to find me a new location to move my whole setup.
And how many folks? Do we have some? We still have some folks here in the county that are making marbles, don't we?
There's a few. I don't know who wants to be promoted or not, but I'm just going to go ahead and say a few names of some pretty good marble makers that I've come across. Eric Strong's pretty good. Stephen Bailey, Donnie Strode, and I'm sure there's going to be others that I've forgotten. Donnie's son, Dalton, has made marbles and doing pretty good doing that from time to time when he gets time. And which Derek Lee is probably a second or third generation marble maker from his father, Junior B. Me and my daddy make them.
And maybe sometime talk to Scotty and Doug.
Some of the McLaren boys still make a few from time to time. I'm thinking Kenny has, Scotty, Doug.
So, of course, that they learned that from their father, Claude. And I actually used to help him. Of course, he was my uncle, and he used to make us younger fellers. He would kind of get a good-looking square of flint, get it down to a certain size. And then he handed us the old big, heavy black diamond file and said, make this round.
My granddaddy was a logger for most of his adult life, and Daddy said he would go to work and carry a file in his back pocket with a piece of flint and hit the file on that all day. And then when he got it round enough, he might back up the truck. And
I also remember a marble-making hole on the creek on Proctor back up above some of my folks' land up there.
And that'd be interesting to see. I know it.
I don't know if I could walk to it now or not. But,
yeah, that might be a chore. But the Rock Springs, there used to be three holes, I think, up on P Ridge, and they were different sizes.
Yeah.
Gauges, and when you got one done in this hole, you'd go to this hole, and then by the time you moved to the third hole, it was supposed to be perfectly round.
And pretty much polished out. You know, and folks that don't know what we're talking about was you would take that piece of flint and put it in place where a running stream was at, and the current from that would spin that in that rock that was harder than the flint.
And much slowly.
And very slowly. Took a long time to make a marble, Glenn. You took good care of them then.
Depends on if it rained or not, you might get a marble.
Yeah.
I've been told lots of times a fella going over excited to check on his marble to see if it progressed any and get down there after a big rain or marble gone.
They could tend to, because, you know, we kind of look at that and we know that a guy laying in a hole can be knocked out. All right, now, another thing I know you're very, very interested in, that you're a whole lot more interested than I am, and that is the ancestry of folks here in Clay County.
That's been ongoing, and I'm going to say that consists of the rest of my life. Probably ongoing means it's never done.
Right.
Since I was about 12 years old, starting with my own history, it just kind of progressed to, well, how are we kin? Well, we're not. Well, somehow that knowledge kind of just remained up in there a little bit, so I've got a pretty good passing familiarity with most pioneer families of Clay County.
Okay. Now, of course, going along that same way, you know, there are lots of Watsons in Clay County, and they used to say, are you kin to the Watsons on P? I'd say, nah, I don't think so. But I think about the third generation back, there was about anywhere from 8 to 12 brothers that lived just all of it, kind of in a circle here, mm-hmm. in this area. So that took care of that pretty much. And, you know, why don't we take something here and just look at it for a second? If you have a family name, and you wanted to find out all the way, say, back, if they came from Scotland, which I got the paperwork of, that's one of my cousins that traced nine generations back to a Thomas Watson in Scotland. So, but how would you go about that, just for people listening that might want to start and try
to
do that?
Well, a good rule of thumb, say, for instance, you know no further than your mother or your father. Let's just start with that broad idea, because you got to treat the situation like such. Find an obituary, and remember and keep in mind that obituary is only good as the information was provided to
right.
the writer of the obituary.
Right.
So sometimes that can give you headlight on a mother or a father of that individual, and if you don't know that, you might find a maiden name of the mother through a sibling if they've got a brother living. And you proceed backwards through death certificates, birth certificates, census records, and you have to rightly divide the truth from error.
And be prepared for different spellings.
Different spellings are wonderful. We was talking about a cousin of yours, uncle or something, Blue Gist, I believe.
Yeah, we...
I always seen his name. I was making a comment about him on Facebook last night, and I went B-E-L-E-W. I'm not sure if I spelled that correctly, because I've seen it spelled B-A-L-L-O-U. I've seen it spelled B-L-U-E, B-O-U, B-I-L-Y-E-U.
Well, you know, and that, you know, there, I think, of course, he is in my line of ancestors, and you go in and One thing I discovered, and I guess I just hadn't paid attention to it, and that is usually a whole lot of the times that the oldest male child would have as his first name the last name of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a next step to the mother's generation.
If they were so conscientious about it.
I think a source, you're talking about the obituaries, I know it's a fee that you have to pay for, but there's a thing called newspapers.com, and I think Kenzie probably uses that. And basically, you can go in there and type in a name and an era of whenever you think they lived. And, of course, if you don't narrow it down, it'll go out and find that person's name all over the United States, which sometimes is very helpful because if you type in the name of the Watson that moved to Texas in 1840 that you know moved there and you know what his name was, you type that in, and there's going to be somewhere out there sometime that there's some type of newspaper article, either an obituary or something that was written about that
person. That's exactly right. I have found a very minuscule little thing about a grandmother of mine, Miss Sally Garrett, visited so-and-so, and that was the only thing mentioned in the newspaper, but that's still a cool find nonetheless, no matter what you find. One of the beautiful things about it is, how do you find all this stuff? I get asked from time to time about newspaper articles and such, and I was going to ask you, when you're looking for this, do you ever find that?
Absolutely.
And I love it when I do.
Well, you know, I was doing a search. My father was, his mother passed away at a very young age, and his father remarried out in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that my dad moved back and forth from between Tennessee and what I thought was Oklahoma until I found out in the 1930 census when he went to Gray County, Texas to work in the oil boom out there, that I was totally wrong. He wasn't staying with his dad and his stepmother. He was staying with apparently a family that was his cousin that I had never heard of before and had a roommate. And, of course, right next to him, his sister and her husband was on the census right next to him. So I said, he's living with a Watson, so he had to be a cousin of somebody that moved to Texas a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you know, it opened up my eyes, the fact that he wasn't going just to visit. He was actually living out there.
That's pretty interesting. Every little bit turns up. You don't know what this rock might uncover unless you look at it. You could, one little document could give you that one piece of information that you've been looking for 10 or 12 years.
You know, and the thing we talked about, the gist, there's two gists that are famous in this area. The other one being, I can't think what his name was right now, but he was one of the founders over in Tompkinsville of Old Mucky.
John?
Maybe no. Jonathan?
Jonathan Gist, I think, maybe.
But and they were, and Benjamin was, I think, maybe somewhere or other, maybe a half-nephew to him or something or other. So
mm-hmm.
The people, and I know in Kentucky, they actually teach a class on him in Kentucky on John, with the founding of the Mulkey. And,
gotcha.
Of course, he was aide-de-camp to George Washington,
mm-hmm.
this kind of thing. So it made him kind of, and then they ran across this other name. So the family that was doing the research on the Gist, they saw Benjamin Gist, and they decided to include all of his ancestors into all of this research they were doing. And I think this research may have lasted, golly, maybe 8 or 10 years.
That's
because
pretty good.
I guess I was about, I don't know, late teens when they contacted my mother and dad to get their information to go in there, and all four of my brothers, and of course them are in that book. So you look over in the book, and if you think there's somebody that you're related to in the Gist, if their name made it into that research, you're indexed there, and you can turn right to that page, and it will then you start, like I said, I start tracing back
mm-hmm.
from Everett Mara, whose mother was a Gist, and his mother, and then you go back, and you've got a family tree in no time flat with that.
Now, some of us from Pea Ridges might look like a bush.
But one of the interesting things there is all of the number of original documents that they photographed. They had photocopies of all the way back to Europe.
Really?
Basically every land deal, deed, will, like you said, birth certificate.
Now, is this like one of the encyclopedias that you used to have to get information, or is this a...
Well, this book is about, I don't know, 400 or 500 pages.
Sounds like it was done well, anyway.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it was actually done by some folks out in Iowa. So, you know, which knows how far you're spread out.
I got to visit with a cousin from California Friday, and he's made a web book that's about 250 pages and got excellent pictures of some of the surrounding areas around here before the dam was built, including some cemeteries that just don't exist anymore because of the building of
right.
the dam. And if anybody can ever get a chance to get a web book, I recommend they do because it's got some fantabulous.
Yeah, I saw that name when he posted on there. It was
Larry Webb.
Larry was his name.
He's
yes.
Walter Webb's nephew.
Okay. Let's take a little short break. We'll come back and continue this interesting conversation. We'll be right back.
Gotta have the commercials.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Prescription drug and opioid misuse often starts at home. On average, 4,400 people ages 12 and under misuse prescription medication for the first time every day. Sharing prescription medications with friends or family members is dangerous and against the law. The misuse of prescription medications can lead to severe health problems and even opioid use disorder. Start preventing prescription drug and opioid misuse at home. This project is funded under a grant contract with Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration from Clay County Anti-Drug Coalition.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's a pleasure being here this morning, even though we did get off to kind of a rocky start. We hope you've enjoyed it so far, and it's always enjoyable when Kenzie comes by, and we can kind of get him to narrow in on things. But we've been talking about ancestry, tracing down ancestors. One of the most interesting things, maybe, that you've ever run into, that something you may have hit a blank wall in, or just something that...
There's blank walls more than there's clear images,
yeah.
Let me just say that. There's been some things. For instance, it took me X amount of years to figure out that my third great-grandmother had 7 children, that she lived to be 108, and all this good stuff, little details about her history. It took years to compile all this information to just wander into a library in Smith County, Tennessee, to finding an obituary of hers with every bit of information it took me years to compile from numerous individuals all over the United States.
Which you now know how to find those a little quicker.
Well, it...
Sometimes.
it's so good, but when you have this obituary that matches every bit of information that you've got and collected, you know you've done it right, because if the two documents line up, there's got to be a little gospel to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess one of the more interesting things I've encountered in correlation to my personal history is a good portion of Clay and surrounding counties are descended from Archibald Arms. He was a War of 1812 soldier. He had 12 children, and the progeny continues on and on and on. Family history always said he was in the War of 1812 under General Andrew Jackson. I found a newspaper article from many years after the fact that was rebuting a article that was previously written about War of 1812 soldiers still alive, and they said that was a wonderful article, but you forgot Uncle Archie Arms, the hero of the Synod, who shot General Packenham with his squire rifle. And it's like General Packenham, well, he commanded the militia during the Battle of New Orleans.
He may have been made famous in the Battle of New Orleans, Rick.
He was. Because they always told in the family history that he said that Andrew Jackson said, don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it's amazing sometimes when you do run across something like that, that is national history.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of put the thread together that connects someone.
It makes United States history or American history that much more personal to me.
And, you know, that, of course, that's something I don't know sometimes where we, American history, of course, it's become a battleground like everything else here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing about it, like I said for many, many years, you know, if you don't know about the past,
you're doomed to repeat it.
You're darn well going to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And but there are just so many things there. And find a grave.
Wonderful resource.
Talk about that a little bit.
That's a wonderful resource, but I'm going to throw back to the obituary and death certificate information. It is only as valid as the information that was provided to the person that put it in there.
Right.
So if I say that your father was Timmy Watson, that don't make it so, but because it is a free public
right
platform, I can put on there, if you have a grave on there, that you're the son of Timmy Watson, and nobody would ever know the difference. You got to verify and check to make sure that everything's correct on there. But as far as being able to link your grandfather's grave to your great-grandfather's grave and being able to navigate and find where they are, it's wonderful.
Okay, you know, one of the things that I think I've found with that was it gives you names. And like you said, they may not be correct, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can go through there and you'll see if you go to grandfather, it'll have his siblings there.
And that takes a lot of work to link those.
And his mother and father,
mm-hmm.
in most instances. So that's giving you two names further up the stream. And then you can take those names and plug them into a census in a general area where
mm-hmm.
you think they're at. And you may come back. I mean, this is where the hard work begins. It may come back with 1,000 names in that general area. And then you got to look in there and say,
you got to find the most unique one out of that family. If you had an Aunt Vinoy, that'd be the name I'd want to hunt.
Right. I mean, that's
because how many Vinoys are going to be in that city?
And, you know, and one of the things that I really have found interesting in doing census research is that those places where they have the actual written pages of the census,
mm-hmm.
the handwritten, and it's one of the great things there, too, is like when you look at a census report, like I said, you check who's living on each side of them.
Yep, always good policy.
And you find out. And, you know, and I know from once you get the census and once you get into those records, marriage certificates, birth certificates, death certificates, all of those things are there if you want to find them.
And very good. And
most of them you can download and copy.
That's exactly right. And most of them are excellent primary sources for proving your genealogy and everything. Unless perhaps Champ Clark was the doctor filling out the birth certificate.
He didn't write real well.
Well, I have to tell this funny little anecdote, and I might get killed, but my father is the fifth of 12 children. The youngest child is named Tuffy Munn Adams. That is his legal name. Most people think it's a nickname. But after number 11, Champ Clark come deliveries, home deliveries.
Right.
after number 11, Champ politely, in his very tactful manner, told Grandpa Grandma didn't need to be pregnant anymore. She was too fat. She was too old. And he told May, he said, it's too dangerous on you. You don't need to get pregnant no more. She got pregnant again. And it was a complicated home delivery, and Champ asked Grandmother, what would you like to name the child? She said, Ronald Ray Adams. So for probably 6 to 8 weeks, however long it was, to get a birth certificate back in those days, he was Ronald Ray Adams. The birth certificate come back, T-U-F-F-Y, M-U-N-N, Adams, because he was a tough little man.
That is pretty neat. And I've also heard story of where Dr. Clark would give a free delivery if you named the baby after him.
Yep. I guess that might have been Champ Bowles' situation.
Well, I'd say probably more than one here in the county that way. But we could do 2 or 3 hours on Dr. Clark.
He was an enigma himself. He deserves a whole hour or two on him.
But, you know, there are just so many things there. And like I said, it's interesting when you get into it. And I know you're a young fellow. You've got many, many years to keep researching all these things, hopefully. And like I said, you get interested in these things. And when you look around and you think about all of these cousins that you have that you didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny to me in that regard. There's people that I've went to talk to ask questions that are no longer here on this earth physically.
We're going to have to wrap up.
We can do it.
What I want you to do is give me a number between 1 and 3, just real quick.
2.
Mitchell Smith, you have won the cake today. You did better than one of the ladies I had. I've told this before. I gave number between 1 and 9, 12. But we want to congratulate the winner of today's cake, and you can go over by the chamber and pick up that Dairy Queen card. And with that, I guess, Kenzie, it's time we shut the door. We got everything put back nearly where it belongs.
Well, we'll have to touch on a few of these points another time.
Yeah, and with that, we'll say, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again right here live and in living color on your radio dial at WVFB FM 101.5. Kicks Country. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Take care.